The Golden Gate National Recreation Area is one of the crown jewels of the United States National Park System. From Muir Woods to Alcatraz, Land's End to Milagro Ridge, the 80,000 acres of land that make up the GGNRA are full of natural beauty, historical treasures, and cultural relics. Just ask any of the 13 million visitors that come to the park each year. There's something about the land that has inspired awe and wonder in generation upon generation. Over 1,500 species of plants and animals call the Golden Gate National Park their home, including 35 federally threatened or endangered species. How is it that one of the world's largest urban parks is able to sustain that sort of biodiversity? Does Mother Nature just do her thing and everything else follows? No way. And let me tell you, it takes a lot of hard work.
My name is Jason Listenby. I'm a biological science technician with the Presidio Trust.
I'm Michelle Oskowski, and I'm the seed ecologist for the Presidio Nursery.
My name is Diane Darling.
My name is Andrew Morrison.
My name is Yakut Apunawala.
My name is Linda Chapman.
My name is Lisa Jackson.
I'm Rebecca Acosta, and I'm currently a habitat restoration intern with the Presidio Trust.
There are dozens of stewardship programs, hundreds of staff members, thousands of volunteers, and millions of hours of labor that go into preserving and restoring the sites around the GGNRA. And in the center of this work is the restoration cycle, which uses the natural rhythms of Bay Area ecosystems to dictate what kind of work is done throughout the year. If you speak with any of the staff, interns, or volunteers that steward and care for this park, their passion for the people, plants, and animals that make up this incredible community is deep and ever-present. Join me as we explore the restoration cycle through the stories of the incredible people who make it all happen year after year, season after season. This is From Seed to Ecosystem, a podcast by the Golden Gate National Parks Conservancy. The Golden Gate National Recreation Area is one of the world's largest urban parks and the most visited national park in the United States. But it comes as no surprise that urban areas are full of ecological disturbances. As a city grows, trees and flowers, grasses and animals are replaced by concrete and pavement, buildings and cars. Native species dwindle in number and sometimes even become extinct. Many species that do survive are invasive to the local ecosystem and help destroy more than they help rebuild. For ecologists in the Bay Area, this presents a real challenge to habitat restoration efforts. I wanted to find out exactly how sites are restored in the park. Who chooses which sites to restore? And how does someone begin the daunting task of breathing new life into a national park? I decided to start my quest for knowledge by speaking with an expert. Eric Klein is a habitat restoration specialist with the Golden Gate National Parks Conservancy and stewards beautiful sites such as Land's End and the Presidio Bluffs. I asked him the question that was on my mind. How does this whole restoration process start?
So usually what happens at the beginning is we as a park kind of identify some high priority areas. These might be areas that are home to some endangered plants that are quickly losing area to grow based on other more invasive weeds coming in. These might be areas where there's some rare or endangered animals that might have their habitat being threatened also. And these also might be areas where the park has identified that it might be a great opportunity for visitor use. There might be a new overlook going in somewhere. There might be a new trail going through somewhere. And all these opportunities present ways of incorporating restoration. So, like I said, for the plants, doing an aggressive or doing any form of weeding, restoration, planting can help those. It's same thing with the animals. You know, some of our more endangered species, like the red-legged frog and the San Francisco garter snake, need wetlands to survive. And so, as many of you know, the wetlands in California are kind of an endangered ecosystem right now. And so there's a lot of work that goes into restoring those and preserving those. And so that gets a big, high priority from us right now. And so once we identify this location that needs work, needs help from us, that's when we come up with a restoration plan, which is something that I'm involved with. It something that I'm involved with as a restoration specialist. And then we figure out where to get money from. Once all that comes together, we look at the site and we say, all right, well, this is the new spot that we get to hang out in. Let's figure out what's going on. So we'll do mapping of potentially where are the populations of animals that live here? Where are the populations of endangered plant species that live here? Where are areas that are habitats that don't really exist in the San Francisco area very much, but we want to expand those? And where are populations of really aggressive invasive species that are coming in? And we look at all these different pieces to be able to kind of isolate areas to say, within this general area that we've identified needs help, this specific area is where we should start, and then we should move over here and move over here. So by mapping, we get to create a list of priorities and be able to put those in order.
Sometimes it can take years before a site is capable of being restored, even after the priorities and needs have been mapped out. Some land disturbances result in contamination, and the contaminants have to be removed before anyone can begin revegetation with native plants. The Presidio of San Francisco, a former army base nestled at the foot of the Golden Gate Bridge, is home to a number of restoration sites that have required significant amounts of remediation. Mountain Lake, San Francisco's only natural lake, is one such site. For decades, Highway 1's presence next to the lake pushed all sorts of pollution and contaminants into the water and sediment, including large quantities of lead. As a result, an elaborate process of dredging the lake and filtering the polluted water is in place before much of the restoration can begin. I spoke with Jason Listenby, a biological science technician with the Presidio Trust, to find out more about what will happen once Mountain Lake's pollution is under control. So, in terms of the steps of restoring this kind of habitat, so you basically first have to do that intense survey where you're figuring out all of these contaminants that are going on in the lake, finding the solutions to how to stop, you know, more contaminants from entering the lake. But then, you know, what happens after even the dredging? Like, what happens when you decide that you want to bring new vegetation or that you want to create an ecosystem that's living instead of an ecosystem that's, you know, at the, you know, the mercy of Highway 1.
Right. So everything we've talked about so far, the dredge, all these boats, the staging area, the filtration stuff, that's all sort of in the realm of, that's in the realm of remediation. And the work that I do is restoration. So, this is all, remediation, I kind of think of as it just resets the disturbance, you know? So you're left with the bad stuff is gone and the landscape is sort of in the same shape or configuration that it is, but it's still a blank slate and a heavily disturbed state at that. Remediation itself is very, is disturbance as well, you know? So if we just left it at that point, all of those species, both plant and animal, that are disturbance loving would just jump all over that disturbance. Remediation just gets rid of that bad stuff, but it's still a lot more work needs to be done. So that's when our work really begins. Once that first step has been done, that's when we come in. And all of our sites here at the Presidio that have been restored, for the first 5 years of the after remediation, we call it a project site. So that's when we are really jump-starting an ecosystem. We can't just leave it, we can't just walk away after remediation. That's when we have to do a lot of really heavy and intense work to get the ecosystem started. Planting, you know, often thousands and thousands of plants and dozens of species. And it's very, very intense. A lot of intense weeding for the first 5 years. Once it's gone through about 5 years, most of our sites graduate into stewardship sites. So Mountain Lake's a really cool place to show this, because right now you're seeing a lot of the first step. So if you look at the west shore here, where you see it's the shore closest to us, you're seeing a lot of really small plants. You're seeing some willows resprouted from last year. You're seeing some alders that we planted at the very, very beginning of restoration starting to kind of peek through. But it's, for the most part, just that's what a project site often looks like, is just, you know, very devegetated, very bare. Early this year, I planted about 150 wax myrtles with a lot of help, of course, and about 30 oaks. And once it rains again, we're going to plant a lot more stuff out there. But that's stage one. But if you look across to the east shore, you're seeing a ramp that's going down there. That right over here, there's like a dump truck with tank treads, and you see some pipes coming down there, and there's like a big shelter. So that area also sort of phase one. We'll have to revegetate that as well. But all that stuff around it, you see shimmering willows, you see sort of the lime green of wax myrtles in there, you see those tall alders kind of poking out. That whole shore, I mean, which is now really healthy, really complex, really great, was a few eucalyptus and a carpet of English ivy 10 years ago. And all of that, once those eucs were removed, and once that was, I have pictures of that where it's just jute netting and the first plantings are being done. So that was a project site for the first few years, and it required a lot of intense planting, a lot of volunteer hours. And now, you know, it's a stewardship site. We go in there occasionally, but it's the ecosystem has been jump-started, so it sort of chugs along by itself.
Creating a complex ecosystem is one of the ultimate goals of habitat restoration and the goal of the two restoration scientists I spoke with in the park. But parts of the puzzle are still missing. Where do all of these native plants come from? And how is it possible to plant thousands of these plants in the span of a few short weeks or months? Stay tuned for part two of this podcast, where we will explore the native plant nursery system of the Golden Gate National Parks. This has been From Seed to Ecosystem, a podcast by the Golden Gate National Parks Conservancy. The soundscape at the beginning of this podcast was Dawn Chorus at Mirror Woods, recorded by Dan Dugan. Additional soundscapes were recorded by Sammy Fink at Mountain Lake. The opening song was Islets by Dam Ships. Listen to more of their music at damships.bandcamp.com. The closing track is Tone Selections by Formanter. Check out this artist at formanter.bandcamp.com.